to season 2 of the Dare to Believe podcast.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season 2?
I'm very excited about season 2. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe.
Well, I'm here with Christy Grainer. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Rebecca.
And you have an exciting announcement for us.
I love that we have Emerge Transformation School coming up fall of 2019.
Tell me a little bit about what Emerge Transformation School is.
It's a 9-month school created for the working adult who wants to know more of the Lord and wants to learn to walk in the supernatural, to hear God's voice, to pray for healing. We literally teach people how to do that and stay biblically based at the same time. We meet every Monday night, except for holidays, from mid-September through early June. And what's really cool about Emerge is that we have satellite schools. So if you're not here in the Burnsville area, we can live stream to you. You can have a school in your location. All you need is someone to lead it and some students, and we will bring the school to you.
Yeah, so basically, if you're hungry for more of God, there is more. There
Amen.
Absolutely is more. And this is just one of the ways that you can go after it. So if you're interested in hearing more about Emerge Transformation School, please go to our website, dare2believe.info, and click on the link.
We'd love to have you there. Hi, I'm Christy Grainer, and I'm here with Rebecca Ribnick. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
And we welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast.
That's right. Welcome.
Yeah. And our special guest today is Rebecca Ribnick.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, Rebecca.
I'm glad to be here.
So I'm excited to interview Rebecca because she holds so much kingdom wisdom and growth and anointing and just great stories of who God is. And so I wanted to pick your brain a little bit and have our listeners listen to some of who you are and what you've lived through and the wisdom that God's given you.
Well, thank you, Christy.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, tell everyone where you grew up and what a little of your life history is.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Yay.
And I quickly ran away to somewhere much, much warmer. Went into university in South Florida.
So winter's not your favorite season?
No. It is not. Right now, it is July. It is beautiful. And I'm asking the Lord, can it not stay this way for the next all the months? Yeah. My family are furriers, however. They sell fur. So it's not great for the family business if it stayed this way. But it's still. Yeah, no, I love the warm weather, so this is great for me. Yeah, so I went to the university down in South Florida. From there, went on the mission field to Southeast Asia, which is even hotter. And that was too hot, actually. That's like the limit. And from there, I ended up in Northern California for 5 years until I felt the Lord leading me back to Minnesota, where I made one of those at different points in my life. I prayed, Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. You know, send me to the nations. God asked for the nations. I'll go wherever you send me.
But he's taking you at your
word.
We're grateful.
You know, the best place to be, regardless of the weather, is where the Lord's leading. So I just remind myself of that, particularly when it's, 30 below.
Well, and one of the reasons I wanted to make sure we get the interview on air with you pretty soon, earlier than later, is because you have lots of cool stuff coming up that people can attend and can hear more from you. So if you are in the Minnesota area, Rebecca is holding a class soon. In about, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
August 6th, 13th, and 20th. They're Tuesday nights, and she'll be at Dare to Believe in Burnsville. And you can find out about that class. It's called Divine Healing, where Rebecca will be using her book as a textbook for this class, and we'll be teaching so much more than we're going to talk about on this podcast, but it will give you a taste what she's going to talk about. And if you're interested in the class, you can register for the class either on the Dare to Believe website, which is www.dare2believe.info. That's dare2believe.info. Or Rebecca has her own website, which is Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Ribnick, R-I-B-N-I-C-K.com.
That's right. Yep. Okay. That's right. I'm looking forward to that.
And the class is called Divine
Healing.
And
if you're not in the Minnesota area, this is actually the best time to come to Minnesota. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't wait till winter.
Yeah.
It's wonderful now.
That's right.
So this class, Divine Healing, I mean, what if people are wondering about that? I mean, what is that title? Why did you pick that title?
Divine Healing. Because healing felt a little New Agey. It felt a little too broad. And I think that actually a lot of Christians immediately go to the New Age when we talk about healing. And I want to break that. It's actually, it could be called biblical healing, but sometimes the Bible is a bit of a buzzword too. So what does the Bible say about physical healing? What is our opportunity as Christians to engage with God when it comes to physical healing and miracles? What does the scripture say? And how do we respond when we see the need for it in our world? So it's really, I share some of my background and story, which we'll get into a little bit here in this episode, but I share some of that, some of the keys about God that we have to look at anything through the lens of scripture and who God's revealed himself to be. And one of the ways he's revealed himself is as the divine healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. So what does that mean as a believer? And then going through the theology of healing, is it God's will to heal? What about this scenario? Is he using this for a greater purpose? What if I pray for someone and they're not healed? Is God saying X, Y, and Z? And a lot of misconception, a lot of hurt exists around that subject. And unfortunately,
There's a lot of blame and shame.
Yeah.
Like either I've done something wrong, because if God's a healer and he heals and I'm not healed, or one of my loved ones isn't healed, maybe I did something wrong or they did something wrong. So it's like pointing the finger.
Right.
And that isn't.
And then it gets painful and you just shut it down.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most people start pulling on this thread and investigating, what does it mean that God's a healer? What about miracles? How do I pursue this? When they need one, or when someone they love needs one, which, you know, better late than never, but your heart's super involved and it's really painful. It can be really messy. So I think it's better to start to ask these questions before you need it, before someone we know and love is facing a situation where we need a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you faced this in a very personal way. It's not like you set out to be an expert in healing.
No.
That wasn't your goal.
Not at all.
You grew up going to a Christian church.
I wanted to be a baseball player, actually.
You
did.
Oh, I did not know this about you.
Yeah. This is true. I was born, most of my family, I was born early, a few weeks early, like 6 weeks early. And most of my family was at the All-Star game, was here in the Twin Cities. They were at the Home Run Derby.
With Kirby Puckett?
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Kirby Puckett.
Yeah. So I loved baseball when I was little. I wanted to be a baseball player. I didn't know that girls didn't play baseball. So
girls do play baseball.
They do. Usually they get filled, you know.
You didn't know that you couldn't make a career out of it, probably.
I did not know that it wasn't a career opportunity as a small girl.
So do you still like baseball?
I do still like baseball. I turned into a little bit more of a basketball tennis player than a baseball
player. Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
She's kind of serious about basketball, like really serious.
Yeah, also about tennis. I usually, just an FYI to everyone out there, I probably have the match DVR'd. You know, because a lot of tennis matches happen overseas, so it's weird times. So I have to avoid all social media. I avoid conversations with people before I've seen the final of Wimbledon or something. So
there's recently a young lady who just really took
over. Yeah, she did awesome. Yeah. Coco, she did awesome down at Wimbledon, 15-year-old.
And did you follow the soccer women as well?
A little bit. It's hard not to, but.
Yeah.
No, I actually got into tennis because I spent exorbitant number of hours on my couch growing up with the TV would be on.
Oh, because you were sick.
Because I was really sick.
Now, Rebecca, at an early
age.
Full
circle. See how we did
that?
Yeah.
How old were you when you began to be sick?
As soon as I started going to school, I was about 4 or 5 years old.
4 or 5 years old, and your immune system was just not working. You were really sick. Things were not going well. I have listened to your parents talk about their experience with this, like carrying you to the hospital. You're limp, and they're giving them no hope that you're going to make it.
Yeah.
And they just kept believing God and praying for you. But from a position that maybe God heals, we're not quite sure. They'd been both taught that, and they trusted God. But it was scary for them.
Yeah,
really,
very scary.
Really scary.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until you were how old that you were healed?
21.
Yeah. So from kindergarten age to 21, you were a very, very sick young person.
Yeah, there's a lot of memories that are just kind of in the background watching them as opposed to being engaged in them. But that was normal for me. So I didn't really carry around this. I think I see people who are whose lives change because of chronic illness. And that's really, really challenging. Whereas for me, it was my normal. So it was maybe a little easier to accept. But I also thought it was God's special plan for me, like my cross to carry, my burden. The way I brought glory to the Lord was suffering
kind of
nobly.
Christian teaching that your family was part of at that
sure.
time.
And I think a lot of Christians have so much more teaching about suffering than they do about healing. And in fact, when we have healing talked about in many churches, it's actually about suffering. Healing isn't even mentioned. How to pursue healing. What does it mean that God's a miracle working God? What does that look like in my life when I'm sick? What does it look like for my children when they're sick? Instead, we're taught how to suffer nobly.
So when you are speaking at a public event and the question comes up about what about suffering, what do you say?
I say that Jesus suffered for us, so we don't have a need to suffer. We're speaking specifically about physical healing and pain right now. And Isaiah 53 is really, really clear. It says, surely he took up our pain. This is verse 4, Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, and he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So Christ already bore our physical pain. His wounds, his stripes have actually bought all the healing necessary for us. We don't need to suffer physically for any purpose. God will absolutely use any suffering that occurs, but he doesn't need it to occur in our life. Whereas I used to think that my physical suffering somehow brought a special glory to God. It's a really faulty interpretation of John 9 and the man born blind. I've actually heard this taught from the pulpit in different places where somebody goes into this whole thing where, is it this man or his parents who sinned that he's born blind? The disciples asked Jesus. And Jesus says neither, but that the glory of God would be revealed. And so that's where they stop. A lot of times I've heard teachers actually stop at that point and say, see, his blindness brought glory to God. And that's exactly what I believed. I brought my sickness, my illness brought glory to God. And in fact, it's the miracle that happens right after that. Jesus restores full sight to this man. He brings full vision to this man. That's the glory of the Lord.
The healing,
not his blindness.
And so how do you have that discussion with someone who is experiencing physical illness and not seeing the type of healing that you miraculously, it really was miraculous where you were healed.
Yeah.
Totally miraculous.
Yeah.
So, but not, well, everybody has access to that. So how do you help someone through the process when they're not seeing it in the natural?
Gently. My first concern whenever I'm ministering to someone or talking to someone is loving and valuing them. And sometimes when people are in chronic pain, they're not in a position where it's not appropriate to pray for them for their healing, because right now they just need to feel seen and loved. And that's my primary concern, is does this person feel valued and feel loved? I don't want them to be a target for prayer. I don't want them to feel like another notch in my ministry belt, but somebody that I can show the love of God. Now, I do think that the love of God includes physical healing, that the manifestation of his love is physical healing and salvation for that matter. But my primary concern is this person being valued and honored and loved right now. And when we teach people to pray for healing, that's what we say is we can't control the outcome. We can go into that more, but I know what is supposed to happen. I know what God's heart is in this scenario, but I also know that God's will isn't always done on earth. That's why he's taught us to pray that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't see it. There's plenty of instances around the world where we do not see the will of God done. So I can't control the outcome of my prayer, but I can control how they experience me through it. And are they
and how they
and
see the Lord reflected
yeah,
in that?
Absolutely.
I remember decades ago, a loved one of mine, very close, was sick and died at a young age,
yeah,
and it was
so
horrible.
Sorry.
And our church at the time was a church that didn't believe in that God was still doing things like that today. Yeah, maybe he did it in the Bible, but doesn't do it today. And And people loved us and wanted to help us after this happened, but their words were mixed with that peace that it kind of fell on us.
Yeah.
And loving people said things like, well, if you prayed for healing and healing didn't come, somebody was in sin because God's perfect.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But what that does at that point, from the point of a grieving person, is causes me to think, well, maybe God's not a good God. You know, this really kind of stinks. And I don't know what I think about a God who would do something like that. And that, because when you're in a vulnerable, wounded, grieving place and things like that are released on you, it's like very confusing.
Sticks. Yeah.
But I think that's a very common thing that happens to people.
Yeah, maybe God's not all the way good. We have this misconception of what the Father's really like.
Because we have a need in our minds to describe and put God in a box that we can understand.
Yeah.
And he lets us understand a lot, but his ways aren't our ways. His ways are beyond our ways. That doesn't mean that he's bad, but there's a bigger picture here, and there's more going on than we even realize. And like you said, God will work all things for good. So I still believe that this loved one was not meant to die at the young age. I believe he was stolen from us.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I do believe that God will work good out of that situation.
Absolutely.
Because I don't believe God caused that situation, but he will work good out of it. And he'll bring glory.
Yeah.
But in your situation, you got your life back because you encountered some people who knew the Lord, but knew that he could set people free and bring healing.
Right. And I just want to say real quick that the Bible is super, super clear that the enemy is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's ever a time that we're thinking that maybe this was the Lord, but it looks like death and destruction, then it isn't.
Yeah.
Wherever Jesus is, there's life and life abundantly. So that's something I've noticed that there's not a lot of great biblical teaching on this subject, and that's kind of this gap that I fell into, is I didn't have the biblical training, I didn't have the biblical teaching on healing, didn't know how to pursue it. And when I had that healing, when I encountered the people that were able to pray with me and bring that breakthrough, or bring me to the place where Jesus came and brought that breakthrough, it started this whole series of questions that took me years to figure out and ask all these questions. Like, was this the will of God that I was sick? Was it his will that I got healed? Why then? Why not before? And then even grieving the loss of my childhood and grieving the things that I didn't get to do, is that's part of the healing process too, is the emotional healing that needs to come. So it was an instantaneous moment for me. It was a process of letting the Lord go back into those things and show me where he was. And it's so awesome now. This passion for healing came because I realized there's other people in the same situation. And you just have so much empathy for people when you know what that's like, when you can see the pain that's not just that they're experiencing, the whole family is going through.
Yeah. And so with your teaching and with your book, what you're doing is releasing your breakthrough over people so that they can start where at a higher level and understand the Lord's process. And that doesn't mean that there isn't hard things. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So what you're describing is a way to partner with the Lord to bring health and wholeness physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And Jesus is the Savior. And in the way I was living, I want to say this carefully, but for so many of the promises that I saw in Scripture, I pushed them off to after I died. They were pushed off to heaven. I used to love Revelation 21:4. It says, "And God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And I pushed that off, a time when there'd be no more pain, when all these tears would be wiped away by Jesus. I pushed that off to the day that I would die and be with him in heaven. And I want to say this carefully, but in some ways that actually made death a savior instead of Jesus a savior. You know, because Jesus, he can save here and now. There is There is no situation that's so far gone that he can't bring redemption. There's no sickness too deep that he can't pull you out of. I believe there is zero scenarios in this life that Jesus is anything short of the savior to. And the Savior for. So my book is called Hope, and I actually didn't title it. My editor titled it for me. I couldn't figure out the title for it. And she's like, you know, this is what I'm left with after reading it, which was, you know, a great compliment. But the message, more than even here's a way to pray for healing, or this is what the Bible says about healing, is there is hope, whatever situation you're in. If you're facing a really awful physical situation, it's not the end of the story. Until it's too good to be true, it's not the end of the story. I love in Christ there is no dead end. The sea parts, you know, the river dries up. There's miraculous something every single time Jesus walks on the scene. Mm-hmm. The dead are raised. Literally, death is not even the end. So if we're in a place of disappointment, we're in a place of hurt, we're in a place of pain, it's not the end of the story.
Yeah, so the book is called Hope, A Practical Guide to Healing.
To praying for healing, yeah.
To praying for healing. And what I realize is that you're not naive, that still hard things happen, and we're told to not to grieve as people who have no hope. There's always hope, even in the loss of a loved one, but that isn't God's best for us, and that's not what Jesus paid for us to have. So we can have more life, more hope in this world, but learning what it means to walk out what Jesus said, pray like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, our Father's in heaven. Mm-hmm. Holy is his name. He's amazing. He's holy. Mm-hmm. But we're praying for his kingdom to come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If there's no sickness in heaven, there's no pain in heaven, we're learning how to bring that to earth and release it. As believers, we have that mandate and that instruction from the Lord. But so hard, many times it's hard to walk that out when we see the pain and the brokenness in this world. So hope is the answer. There's always hope. And if you've lost hope, you're listening to the wrong voice.
That's right. Yeah. I love a man named Steve Backlund, a pastor at Bethel in Redding, California. And I love all his resources, so go find them. But he says there's no such thing as a hopeless situation, just hopeless people. Mm. There's no situation that's hopeless. And I would even say that tension that we feel between the kingdom of God is here and it's coming, that Jesus paid for every answer, yet we're still not seeing all the answers manifested yet. That tension is the cross that he's promised we're going to bear. Mm-hmm. That place of pain, being like, I know healing is real, yet I've yet to see it in my life, or I've yet to see it in my family's life, or worst case, you lost someone that you love like you did. That's, we get to walk out that moment where we say, like, I know what your ultimate truth is, Lord, but that's not the fact. That's not the reality of my experience. And you have to live in that tension. And it's actually in many ways easier to say God doesn't want to heal all the time, because then you don't have to wrestle with that.
And it's painful to wrestle with some of those things.
It's very painful. Mm-hmm. It hurts. And I have a lot of compassion there too, mm-hmm, for people that are in process. I just encourage them to be in process. I had a pastor tell me after I experienced a pretty devastating loss, I said, what do you do when you pray for someone? All your heart goes into prayer. You believe with everything, every ounce of who you are, you believe. And the tendency is to want to not believe so much the next time. Hold a little bit of your heart back, because it hurts so much when you have full confidence the Lord will heal and then you don't see it happen. I asked this pastor, who's renowned for miracles and in their ministry, I said, what do you do? And she looked at me and she said, oh, honey, you just grieve. And she could see that I was hurting. She said, you need to grieve. You need to recognize that it hurts. You need to give yourself space and time to feel that and work through that. And yeah, that's the reality of going after the things of the kingdom as we run up against impossibilities and hardships, because we're supposed to bring the solution of heaven, which is the answer to all these impossibilities, but they hurt when we hit them. They're hard.
And being honest about grief is important, because there can be a perception when you're so positive that we're just not going to believe that there's something painful. Well, there is pain, and pain is real.
Yeah.
So Jesus bore our grief. So take your grief to him. Be real about our grief.
Right.
And it can be really hurtful when Christians don't acknowledge grief or don't allow people to grieve.
Yeah. Yeah. Super hurtful. And then that's where all those weird things, like, maybe there was sin, maybe there was this, mm-hmm, maybe God was teaching you a lesson. And I love Bill Johnson says, you know, if I as a father punish my kids with a broken arm, I lose my children. That's not a good father. That's an abusive father. So if
and God's not an abusive father,
as a good father, he's not going to punish his children with cancer. Yeah. Even if you deserved it, even if you did the most awful, terrible thing, that's not who he is.
Yeah.
Even if you think you deserved it, I should say.
Yeah. Well, in your book, you cover a lot of territory, and a lot of it is your personal experience through this. But you do talk about having to know who God really is.
Yeah.
And that's part of the process. And then, but you then you have to know who you are.
Right.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, that was part of my process too, is I got miraculously healed when I was 21, didn't know that God did that until I was personally healed. And that was just a pretty crazy experience for me, and went on a journey of what does healthy look like? Because I physically did not know how to live as a healthy person.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a study that was done at the University of Minnesota, I believe, where actually not just a study, but it's a process they walk out, that when someone is sick, physically sick, and they get like an organ transplant or something, they've been sick for years and they get healthy, they actually do training and therapy on how to live a healthy life, because they've been sick for so long, that's normal.
Yeah.
And they have to learn a new normal, which is being healthy. And they are healthy, but they don't know how to be healthy. Yeah. The same is true spiritually.
That's very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually great.
So you had to learn both. That.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was actually really fun for me. I got to meet myself, and I was like, whoa, I'm so much fun. I never knew that, because I wasn't that fun.
I have energy.
Yeah, I was like, wow, life is so exciting. There's so many things to do and see and experience. And before, it was so limited in what was available, and I was such a stickler about what I ate and what I did and saving energy. And heaven forbid I share. If you drink out of my cup, I'm going to toss my cup, because I didn't have the immune system to keep from getting whatever you had been exposed to. Stuff like that was, you're just so hyper aware all the time. And then all of a sudden that was gone. So for me, I had a really special season where I just would get up. I'd get up every day early, which was already a sign of a miracle, about 6:30 as a college junior. So that's pretty early for college students in general. But I would get up and I would just sit before the Lord and be amazed that I had another day healthy, and ask him how to do it. Because I didn't know. I really didn't know how to do it.
Did it take you a while to trust that it wasn't going to just come back?
Years.
Yeah.
The first time I felt like a cold or anything like that, I was terrified. I thought it was another cycle of whatever. And I'd be like, I was wrong. I was mistaken. It came back. And the enemy will come back at you with lies. Wherever you gain ground, that's where the counterattack is. He's not going to go after something that's long established and that you know. But the things that you're breaking through in and walking out into your destiny in a new way, that's where he's going to come at you with lies and say, oh, you were never really healed. You made this up. This wasn't whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to talk to friends or I'd talk to my parents. And eventually I could look at my history, of years of being healthy. But I also had to learn healthy parameters. Like, I didn't know that you probably should still go to bed and not just live
healthy
on.
Healthy people still need to sleep.
They do. Yeah. They do, it turns out.
Yeah.
You know, I used to say sleep was for the airplanes, just that and adventure everywhere else. But I've learned since then some healthy physical boundaries of, sleep and exercise and that sort of thing.
Because many of us feel like, well, I know what I've done in life, and I know that I made mistakes, or I got angry, or I made bad choices, and
I've disqualified myself.
And there are we do need to deal with some of the dumb stuff we've done in life. There are consequences to our bad choices, but our good Father does not withhold good things from us because of our bad choices.
Right.
But we do open the door to things that we need to deal with. But that's part of the whole learning of walking out all that God has for you.
Yeah, and real quick, that reminds me of Colossians 1:12 that says the Father is the one who's qualified us. So actually, I can't disqualify myself from something the Father's qualified me for. It's not on me in the first place. It's actually something he's done, so I can't take it away. That's a lie from the enemy that says you're disqualified now.
There can also, in the body of Christ, be that opinion that there are certain men and women of God who are gifted as healers, which there are. We see some people.
Yeah, there's definitely a gift or an anointing that's on people, for
and
sure.
And how do you process that?
I think those questions are actually related. So I went on a journey of learning to be a daughter, and I didn't know that even when I was healed. I thought this was kind of a special one-time thing God did for me. And I always knew the John 3:16 love that God had for the world. I believed that from a very early age. But I didn't know the personal, unique love that he had for me. I knew that God loved the world, but I didn't know he loved me. So when I was healed, it was like, he loves me. Like, I had this extreme encounter with the love of God. Like, he was willing to impact and affect my life.
Yeah, there's a difference between knowing that you love him because you're grateful for who he is, you're grateful for what he's done, you're grateful for salvation, all those things, but to realize that he loves you.
Sure,
yeah. He knows everything about you, and he loves you.
Yeah, yeah. And so I thought I'd have this kind of this taste of his goodness and his love, and that I didn't deserve to have it again, that other people needed it.
Let's laugh at that,
huh? I know, it's like, well, it's, again, it's sweet. I think it comes from a place of a good heart.
Because you didn't deserve it in the first place.
I didn't deserve it. Exactly. Yeah. And you need it. Like, I want you to have this great encounter with the love of God. But it's really bad theology, because it says that somehow he's finite in himself, yeah, or in his ability to give love. I say that, you know, Jesus isn't, his love isn't a pizza I can't steal your slice. There's not less of it to go around if I have more. And learning that was a lot of learning about being a daughter, that I couldn't earn it. The Lord spoke to me pretty powerfully through the story of the prodigal son, or the story of the good father. You know, I saw myself in the older son. I wasn't the prodigal. I hadn't run off, but I was there serving him all my life, and I didn't get the party, you know? And I was like kind of earning my salvation in many ways, or earning what I had from him, earning his affection. And something the father says in that, he says, son, you're always with me, and all I have is always yours. He's saying you always have access to me, and I had to learn that I had access to the Lord, that I am his child. I inherit with Christ. I am a big deal. I'm worth what he paid. You don't pay more than something's worth. You pay its value, and he paid everything for me. Not for the world at large, but for me. And he's really, really good. He's entirely on my side. So who does that make me if he calls me good? He calls me his daughter. He calls me his child, his beloved. So that changes how you interact with God. Suddenly it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not moral obligations or check off your discipline box or whatever. It's what I want to live a life that positively impacts our relationship and our connection. So,
and you know what I think is interesting is you didn't know that before you got healed.
No, I didn't. You're right.
You learned that because of your healing.
That's right.
And so you didn't earn any of it, and you didn't even believe you could have it.
Right.
And yet God broke through that because of the faith of someone around you. It's like, it's almost like you were that paralytic lowered in a mat,
yep,
before Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you didn't believe it was going to happen.
No. No,
but they did.
It. Yeah,
and
exactly.
They broke through for you.
Exactly.
And then you began to realize and learn, that was walking out the healing, was learning that you are precious to the Lord, and he did do this for you, and
right,
learning all those things.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then in that, so learning that I am a co-heir with Christ, you know, the basic gospel message is that God, out of his great goodness, decided to make humanity in his image. So I'm already made in the image of God. He foresaw any problem that would come up. As the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth were laid, the Lamb of God was slain. So he already made provision to bring me back into that right relationship before I was ever even considered, you know, before I was ever on the scene. Is he actually comes and dies for me. And then that's still not enough in the basic gospel message, because now I'm co-crucified with Christ. My baptism, I am crucified with Christ. I'm resurrected with Christ, and now I'm co-heir with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. And that is just, that's the basic, that's a starting point. That's not the full thing. That's the starting point. So then I started asking, well, what does that mean when it comes to healing? Is it just the anointed man or woman of God who has a special gifting? Is it just this person we see on the TV who might be a charlatan, by the way, or might be somehow perverting the gift? Because that's kind of all I'd ever seen or ever thought about healing, is maybe it's some sort of perverted gifting or lots of
manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I thought that maybe that was all that was to it. But I started thinking, well, if this is true, if I am this heir with Christ, if I am all these things, then what does that mean as a believer? And so you start looking at that. And the thing is, Jesus did everything as a man. He didn't do it as God. He emptied himself, the Bible says, of his godlike ability. So he lives perfectly within the confines that I'm limited to, but he is empowered by the Holy Spirit and performs many signs and wonders. He has no sin separating him from God, and he is empowered by the Holy Spirit, only doing what the Father's doing. Well, in Christ, I have no sin separating me from God. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I seek to do what the Father is doing. So that actually sets me up in the same category as Christ, that he has now lived a life not just for me, but as an example for me. And that's how he can promise in John 14:12, he says, you will do these things and even greater. So you start saying, well, I want to do those things.
And what so is it learning mean? How?
Yeah, learning how to do that.
And what I would say about you is that you have a very high value for the Word of God. Very high value. You have a very high value for the community of Christ. But you also have a very high value for your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So those are the things that make you strong in who you are. The scriptures, your relationship with the Lord, but also your relationship within the body of Christ.
Yeah, I don't want to do it alone.
Exactly. But that's you have walked that out in a very real way. And so that's what people can see and learn and get an impartation from you, which means they can get a jump start on their own life in these areas, that they can in a way that it's not just it won't be anything for them to walk out. They'll still have to walk something out, but they can take off, almost get a baton handoff from you with what you have broken through, passed on to them, and they can take it even further.
Yeah, and that's exactly the image I have is the relay race. I used to run a little track, and when you're in a relay race, what happens is there's a handoff zone. So you look and you see the other runner coming and you start running. So you actually run a little bit of the same lap together. So you actually, there is a little bit of catching
running
up
with some of the people running who know how to do this.
Exactly.
Yep.
Kind of learning from their experience, but then they pass off the baton to you and you take it and you run a lap. They can't run because they've already run their lap, you know? So you run your lap and then you hand it off. And there have been many, many people, many men and women in the body of Christ who have taught me so much and they have given me so much. They spent years learning. So I've spent years learning, and hopefully somebody can take what I've learned and run so much faster and further than I ever could. Mm-hmm. But I definitely believe that if I can do it, you can do it. Like, I'm not really that extra gifted or that extra special. I'm just someone who believes what the Lord said about me as best as I can. And part of community is having people around me that believe for me before I can. So the areas of my life where I'm not quite sure I believe that yet, or the words spoken over me, or even just the promises in scripture, there's some promises that I don't quite yet believe all the way for myself. The power of community is they believe it for me. They believe those breakthroughs for me. And I, you know, if you hang out with them, you eventually kind of catch it and you're like, oh, maybe that is real. Maybe I can be all that the scripture says I am. But you need somebody else to believe for you before you can. So there's a big value in community. But if I can do it, you can do it. I guarantee you, if I can do it, you can do it for sure. And I'll go, you know, I love doing it with people. So I'll go with you the first few times and then pass it off.
So I want to encourage people to look into either Rebecca's book or her class. And again, the class is happening August 6th. 13th and 20th in Burnsville, Minnesota, but they're getting a taste of you. There's so much more in that class. But also the book is so helpful in walking that out in an individual's life. And the book is now in only written format, right? Kindle and...
Yeah, ebook and in print.
But also the audio will be coming out early or late in 2019.
Yeah, working on the audiobook. So if you like this voice, you can...
she's doing her own book.
Yeah.
But what I would love to have you do is just pray for people, because there's so much that you carry. Would you pray for them to get an understanding and a touch from the Lord for whatever we need healing for? Because you don't have to wait to get that touch from the Lord till you're sick for 20-some years.
Oh, no, don't be sick for 20-some years.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a physical illness. It can be sadness or emotional pain or spiritual pain. There are just so many things the Lord wants to bring his love and his blessing into. So how about if you pray for our listeners that they would have an encounter of that type?
I'd love to. And that reminds me of another Steve Backlinism, which I think he's quoting from someone else. But if there's any area in your life where you don't have glistening hope, you're believing a lie. So if the future isn't, if there isn't a confident expectation of coming good to your life, or even a joyful expectation of coming good to your life in a certain area, then there's probably a lie in there, because that's not how Jesus is believing.
And you know what I would encourage people is there are lies, and a lot of those lies, the enemy is good at one thing, and it's lying. He's a liar and a thief, and the lies are placed in such a way that we don't even recognize them as lies. So there's some things that are obviously lies. You won't believe them. But there are lies that we don't know we're dealing with.
Right.
But all you have to do is ask the Lord to reveal that lie to you. Repent for believing the lie. Kick it out and ask the Lord, okay, so what's the truth?
Yep.
And once you get in the truth in you and get filled with the presence of the Lord, where that truth becomes the truth in your heart, it changes the way you do life.
Yeah.
And sometimes people see changes immediately. Sometimes people see changes for months down the road. They'll look back and say, hey, I'm different. There's something different in me. So just trust the Lord that He is bringing the healing you need, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual.
Yeah, He is. He's good, and He wants to see you whole and healthy and happy. Yeah, He absolutely does. And the nature of deception is you don't know you're deceived.
Yeah.
If you know you're deceived, you're not. The Lord
is the Spirit. He's truth. And He is the Spirit of truth. So ask Him.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Father, I just thank You that You are so good, that there is hope for every situation, and where You come in, where you just shine so brilliantly, and that darkness has to go. Yeah, so I speak that over our listeners right now, Lord, that You would just shine in their hearts and in their lives, Lord, that You would reveal places where some cobwebs have grown, or where Your light hasn't been shining, Lord, that You would just shine on that right now, Lord. I just declare an encounter over our listeners with the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of truth. Yeah, where there's pain, Lord, I ask that Your healing balm would come. I speak to any physical illness right now, and I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of healing, that Jesus bore this so that you don't have to, and that it would be here on earth like it is in heaven, that there be no more of this sickness, no more of this trauma, right now in Jesus' name. So, and Father, I just thank You so much for Your beautiful presence. I just pray a release of Your presence, that they would feel You, like even a warm, tangible feeling of the goodness of heaven surrounding our listeners right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that You would bring community and people around them who are going after the same thing, that they would not walk this road alone, but they would have community and fellowship on the journey. And that would be so fun, so full of the adventure and the abundant life that You've promised. I pray all these things in Your name and for the sake of Your kingdom. Amen.
And what I'm thinking of as you're praying is there's times in our life when we believe, but we don't believe at the same time.
Yep.
And there is scriptural precedent for the man who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, I'm having a hard time believing this. And so if you're in that place, we just bless you with the ability to reach out to the Lord and say, if You do heal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm not sure if You do or not, Lord, but if You do heal, or if You do speak truth, or if You do bring these things, bring it to my life. I'm open to it. So the Lord will be faithful to you, but it's not based necessarily on your faith. Jesus said, if you've got the faith of a mustard seed, just a tiny little bit, you can change all these move mountains, change big things. So you just need to ask Him, make yourself available to His answer.
Yeah. That's good.
So we've been speaking today with the famous author, Rebecca Ribnick. And you can find out more about Rebecca on her website. It is www.rebeccaribnick.com. You can also find out about her at daretobelieve.info and find out about our ministry. It's daretobelieve.info.
Yeah, and I will add, just as far as resources go, I do think my book is a great resource. That's why I couldn't find one, so that's why I wrote it. But another thing, if this is kind of striking a chord in you, is we do have a ministry school. It runs during the I guess there's probably gonna be a promo. I'll probably put the promo for it on this. But that's just another great resource. If something is sparked inside of your heart, if there's like this excitement,
and
check
you're ready
it out.
To go for it, ready to move.
Check it out, because there is so much more. And what we, the body of believers, need is for you to be exactly who God created you to be, and walking in the fullness.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
So thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank
you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.